What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Bridging the Geekdoms. I am Robert Slavinsky, and with me, as always, is...
your pollution pervert.
Colton Bird.
Yay. Pick up that trash.
And welcome back, Colton Bird.
Blessed, fam.
Even though you're not welcome back. I mean, you've been here...
Oh, oof. I'm not welcome.
It's not what I meant. Oof. There's no reason to welcome you back because we were here last week. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying today.
I believe in you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Hopefully we can get through this episode. Last episode, I was a little late in getting it uploaded last week.
Oof.
So I apologize for that.
It's okay.
This week, though, we got a cool show for everybody. Last week, while I was kind of mellow and very tired, this week I'm not so much. So we got some interesting things to go over, such as a few movies that Colton has watched and I've watched over the past week. We got some... Mm-hmm. We have some Oscar news, because the Oscars were just the other day, so that's exciting, isn't it?
I guess.
Got some Kevin Smith news. We got some Marvel stuff going on in the world. And we're going to continue our journey to Avengers Endgame and talk about Spider-Man as well as Doctor Strange and what they have brought to the MCU in regards to leading up to what happens in Endgame.
Things are about to get sticky and strange.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, like we do every week, let's start off with what's been going on with you there, Colton, buddy, old pal?
I'm getting over that sickness I had.
Yeah, yeah. You were down with the sickness last week.
Yeah. I still got a little bit of a cough, but other than that, I'm good. I saw Happy Death Day to You.
So, interesting, because I literally just today, actually, this morning, I woke up. And I was like, I'm too lazy to do anything today.
And you're like, let's watch a terrible Blumhouse movie.
So let's watch a Blumhouse movie that Colton was like, hey, it's not bad. So I was like, all right, look, you know I'm not a big horror movie fan to begin with.
Yeah.
So going into this, like, I had no expectation of it besides it probably sucking. And let me tell you, it met those expectations and exceeded it. So,
yeah. It's a good movie for Blumhouse, though.
It was a horrible movie. And there's nothing. There's no explanation for anything. It just happened.
Don't worry. The second one?
It just happened.
The second one? Same fucking thing. Except that you think it's going to be the whole group, but it's not.
You know they're going to make a third one now. They're going to make a third one, and they're going to be like, the chilling finale to the...
And the girl's killing herself. And the only way for her to do it is to kill herself killing herself while she kills herself.
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
Yeah.
Basically the premise of the second movie.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So how did you like it?
You know, the second one?
Yeah.
It was a rom-com horror movie, and I don't know how I felt about that. It was weird. It was real weird. I'd much rather would have watched How to Train Your Dragon, but Nicole wanted to see it, so I was like, whatever.
Oh, man.
It was on my list to see anyway, so I can't complain.
I need to get to the movies this week. I'm way behind now, because...
I am so far ahead, it's not even funny.
I'm three movies behind now. I still need to see Alita, I need to see How to Train Your Dragon, and I need to see Fighting With My Family, or Fighting With The Family, whatever it's called. I need to see those three. I also kind of want to see Lego Movie 2, or Lego Movie the second part, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Lego Movie 2, part 3.
But my kids wanted to see it, and I was like, hey, let's go see it this weekend. And they're like, no. I was like, but you said you wanted to see it. Yeah, but no. Like, all right, so.
I just need to see How to Train Your Dragon, then I'm caught up till Captain Marvel comes out.
Yeah.
I might see Fighting With My Family or Fighting...
I'm surprised it's not one that you want to see, though, because it's
wrestling. It's wrestling, but... Paige just wasn't a compelling enough wrestler for me to want to watch a biopic.
Like I said, real-life Paige, I'm not interested in her at all. This movie Paige, I'm completely interested in her.
Oof.
So we'll see where this goes.
She just wasn't... I watched her wrestle and her character, and it just wasn't enough for me to be like, oh, she needs a movie.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have like a Hulk Hogan movie or something.
Which we're getting.
Yeah.
Nice little
spoiler there.
Nice little segue to something later in the show. But
or like someone else, like The Undertaker. I'd love to see a movie about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, I just didn't feel like she needed a movie.
She should just do a movie about Mean Gene.
Oh, yeah.
Just me.
That would be cool.
How cool would that be? Come on, man. That'd be awesome. Let's do a show about a movie about Mean Gene.
Or Macho Man Randy Savage. Just an hour and a half of just a man doing cocaine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm the cream of the crop. Yeah.
snapping into Slim Jims.
Oh, yeah, slap into a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So what else? What else going on with you this week?
Anything? Nothing really. I'm really sad. Well, I'm not really sad. I know she'd do it, but I'm not going to make her. Nicole's birthday, I just realized, is the same day that Captain Marvel comes out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. I was like, isn't your birthday? No, your birthday, Shazam.
Yeah, my birthday, Shazam at Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
Hers is Captain Marvel, so I'm like, shit. I don't know when I'm going to see that one. But I don't know. She might go. I'm not going to make her, though. It's her birthday.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we go, we go. If we don't, we don't. Whatever.
I mean, you're going to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to see it regardless, but I wanted to see it opening night.
Oh, man. Oh, piss.
Oh, piss. Well, see, we're doing stuff Thursday for her birthday, so maybe she'll be like, whatever. We can do stuff Friday. We can do it Friday. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
We got a week.
Is it really a week?
Yeah.
Next week?
Yeah, next week.
No, it's... Yeah, next week. Yeah. Jeez.
A week from Friday. And then we're in the end game.
We're
in the pregame.
We're in that
awkward time when you wake up right before you get to it, and you have like 3 hours before you're supposed to get ready, so you don't really know what to do with your day.
You know, today it was weird. I woke up today, and I woke up. I remember vividly waking up, and I was
touching
awake,
yourself.
And I was awake, but I was still dreaming.
Ah, vivid dreaming.
It was weird.
Or lucid dreaming, sorry.
Yeah, it was really weird. That's never
lucid dreaming's fun.
Never happened to you before.
I like when that happens. It only happens like when my sleep apnea acts up, and it's like, oh god, I quit breathing. So it always wakes up with a scare, but whatever.
Let's see. I, on the other hand, this week, what did I do? You're all done, right?
Yeah, I don't think I did anything else.
I started off my week, earlier on in the week, I was bored and was like, you know what?
Teletubby time.
I have yet to fully watch the 2016 remake of Ghostbusters. So,
yeah, how'd you enjoy that?
You know,
that's a reason why we'll never get a sequel.
here's the thing: like, people don't understand because the biggest reason why I watched it wasn't because like I ever had a desire to. It's because of all the news that's been coming out about the upcoming Ghostbusters 3 that Jason Reitman is doing, and you know, bringing back the original cast and all that thing, like that's so exciting. But it's getting somewhat negative press because what they're talking and how they're talking up their own movie. They're like, we're gonna, you know, recapture the essence of the first movie. We're gonna, what made the first movie so great, we're gonna bring that into this movie. So all those people that were involved with the 2016 remake are all pissed off, and they're like, well, what the hell? Like, you don't think we grasp that, or blah, 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 you know, oh, trying to say our movie sucked, and yes, your movie sucked. Yeah, accept it.
You woman-washed the movie.
Like, it's not even about woman-washing it. That's the thing. It's not even about that. It doesn't matter who's in it.
Women aren't funny.
They could have put anybody in those roles. They could have put the four funniest comedians, like the best, like if you could, or the best actors in the world.
Me.
All right, if you could have found the best, it doesn't matter who you would have put in there, that movie would have sucked just as bad. And this is the biggest reason why. This is why the movie sucks. Because they made it a comedy. That is why it sucks. And people don't understand that. Ghostbusters, while yes, it is a comedy, it has a comedic shell to it. The movie in itself is essentially a horror film. It's supposed to be taken serious, and it's supposed to just, you know, bring that scary nature to ghost and stuff like that into it. What made it a comedy was adding Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, you know, adding those aspects to the movie, which they're all comedic geniuses, and were able to bring comedic genius points in the film. Like, they just had the best timing for their comedic moments. That is why Ghostbusters, while yes, it is a comedy, it was a serious movie that
had
comedic scenes in it. This one is a comedy with ghostbusting, and that is the problem with the film.
Ah, so Luigi's Mansion.
Because you watch this movie, and all they're trying to do is make you laugh at every single possible chance they can get. That is all they tried to do in this movie, which means, guess what? They did not grasp the essence of the original Ghostbusters. Plain and simple. So you want to sit there and get pissed off because, you know, Jason Reitman is saying, look, we're going to grasp the essence of the original movie in this upcoming one. Good. You know why? Yeah, because 2016's didn't. It didn't.
thank you for not making a steaming pile of shit.
I mean, it could suck. Yeah, that's the thing. At this point in time, this Ghostbusters 3 could suck. It could suck worse than the 2016 remake. At this point in time, we don't know. But what we do know is the 2016 one does suck. We yes. know that.
But you can't be worse.
You can it could be, but...
You could only go up. Don't make it Adult Swim quality content.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I Jason Reitman, he's a good writer, good director. He's made some excellent movies. Thank You for Not Smoking is probably his most.
I was like, whoa, I don't smoke, man. What the hell?
It was probably his biggest movie like that. Like people really took notice. I think it was his first movie. Also, since then he's had a couple not so critically. Not commercially accepted movies. Mm-hmm. But again, I think he's good. I think he's right. I mean, his father is the one that created the Ghostbusters with, you know, the likes of Bill Murray, Harold Ramis. You know,
so it only makes sense.
So it's just cool that his son is now taking you know, the keys of the car, as he said when he announced the movie. You know, my dad's handed me the keys of the car and nice. The Ecto-1. It was awesome. So, yeah, I watched Ghostbusters, the remake, and I'm sorry, it sucks. It does. I mean, it's plain and simple. There's not a moment in that movie that is enjoyable. They don't understand what they're doing. The villain makes no damn sense. Like, what is the point of them? And then that's the other thing. And I know that you were, you know, you're making a joke. Oh, they women watch it and stuff like that. And,
I mean, it's not wrong.
It's not completely wrong, because what they essentially did was they took every single... And watch this movie, people. And I'm not saying this because I'm against the idea of having women as the leads. I'm not. But they took... Every single male in that movie is either dumb as shit or a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Or the villain. All right. There isn't a single smart, intelligent male character in that movie that helps push the movie at all.
But women are oppressed.
So, you know, not trying to get political, not trying to get anything like that. But again, if people start sitting there and saying, you know, that it's because of, you know, people just weren't, they didn't like the women aspect of it. For me, that's not true. I like Kristen Wiig. I like Melissa McCarthy in some things.
Big old italicized there. Some things,
yeah. But Kate McKinnon, I'm not a huge fan of her. I think that she was probably the worst part of the movie. Mm-hmm. And Leslie Jones, again, she's not terrible. She's not a terrible actress, but again, they're all comedians first. None of them, with the exception of Melissa McCarthy, has ever even had a inkling into any kind of serious type of filmmaking. So it just didn't fit Ghostbusters to me, and that's my problem with it.
Better or worse than Happy Death Day?
I'd watch Happy Death Day before I watch Ghostbusters again.
Oof.
Oof. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Oh, man, what's going on?
Rest in spaghetti.
Yeah.
Rest in spaghetti, your mic, too.
Yeah. So I then watched another horrible movie that everybody was always talking about, which I'd never got around to watching because of how much I heard it was horrible. And the other day, after my kids went to bed, I was like, you know what? I'm bored. Let's watch this movie. There's nothing else on TV. What the hell? So I watched the remake of Fantastic Four.
Oof.
Yeah.
You just tortured yourself this week.
I really did. You know, it's one of those things, if I don't have to pay for it,
why I'll not?
YOLO. Exactly. You know, if it's free on demand, what the hell? Why not give it a shot, you know? So I watched it, and again, I'm a fan of the actors that they put in this movie. You know, I do like the guy who played Reed Richards. I can't remember his name for the life of me right now, but one of my favorite movies of the past 10 years was Whiplash, and he was the main character in Whiplash, and I think he's a good actor. So, you know, it's one of those things where I knew what I was getting myself into here, and I knew that it wasn't going to be a good movie. And it's really funny because Sue Storm, you know, in the movie, I can't remember who plays it. I need to look this stuff up while I'm sitting here. You know, what do I have you for? You should be looking this stuff up.
Okay, so as you look it up, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on
iTunes. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm
saying you should look up the stuff while I'm talking.
Well, I didn't think that far ahead, so I'll just plug ourselves here. Give us a 5-star like on iTunes. Write a review. Maybe we'll read them live if you do it.
But... Really, I mean, watching the movie, as I'm trying to find who played these characters, if my computer wants to work at all, I knew it wasn't going to be good. I just knew it wasn't going to be good. And that's fine. But I didn't think it was going to be this bad. You know? I mean, it's a bad movie. Don't get me wrong. The first, like, 30, 40 minutes of the film, hey, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I liked the buildup that they were doing. I liked the change and how they all got their abilities. I liked that. I thought it was cool. It was different. Miles Teller is the guy who played Reed Richards. Michael B. Jordan, obviously, I'm a fan of his. Kate Mara played Sue Storm.
But I went to the wrong one.
As I'm watching, I was impressed with the beginning of the movie. I really was. But there's like a moment, probably 45 minutes to an hour into the movie, where it just, you can tell the shift. And there's a shift where it doesn't know what it wants to be. And
it turns into a turd.
It is. That's exactly what happens. So Kate Mara, or Mara, who plays Sue Storm, there was a joke that I heard years ago after it came out, where you can tell the reshoots from the initial principal photography because her hair changes. I counted 7 times her hair doesn't match the scene prior.
Oh my God. How do you not notice that when you're editing it?
I mean, at that point, what can they do?
That is Photoshop, I guess. Try. At least try.
Yeah, 7 times I noticed that the hair was messed up. The other characters wasn't so noticeable for the reshoots and stuff like that. Just her hair was the big noticeable factor there. But again, it switches. A lot of people I heard were trying to say that, oh, it kind of turned into like a horror film. I didn't feel that. Like, there was a moment where I was like, oh crap, this is like supposed to be an intense moment. It's supposed to be, but it isn't working.
But it's not.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. I don't like how they made Dr. Doom. Like, I didn't like his look and everything like that.
They made him Dr. Lackluster.
Yeah, very much so. His motive behind what he was doing was not there. Literally, the final battle against Dr. Doom was all of like 36 seconds.
Same.
It was pretty bad. So, it's not a good movie. I will say this, and I told you this probably 10, 15 minutes ago, but I would rather watch this movie 150 times before I watch Venom one more time. That is how bad I think Venom is. I would much rather watch it. I'm sure I could find things in this Fantastic Four movie that I enjoyed. Actually, the first 35 minutes of this movie is better than anything Venom brought, and it's an entire movie. So, like,
and probably the sequel and the spinoff.
Yes. Yeah. So, again, it's not a good movie, but, whatever. Yeah.
Better or worse than Happy Death Day? That's going to be the bar from now on.
Venom should be the bar. I would watch Happy Death Day before I watched Venom.
Venom. Venom's the new bar. If we ever review a film on here, Venom. Better or worse.
Being that it's one of the worst movies I've ever watched, it's not saying much if I say I'll watch it again.
Literally watches something on YouTube. Better or worse than Venom? Better.
Yeah. So I saw those two movies, and then I went to Redbox, and there's two movies that came out last year that I still hadn't gotten around to watch, and finally I was like, you know what? Tonight's the night.
One was my number one movie of 2018.
So I rented Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star is Born. Now, I was looking forward to Bohemian Rhapsody since they announced it, which was like 4 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So I was pumped about that.
Rest in spaghetti, Freddie Mercury.
So I watched that first. And I tell you what, I enjoyed it. And I agree with you that it is a great movie. It's a really good movie. Yeah. It's just...
It's not a queen.
The name of it should have been Mercury.
Yeah.
You know, because it was about Freddie Mercury. It wasn't about Queen. There was not enough Queen info in that movie for me to sit there and say, oh, this is a biopic on Queen.
Yeah, it's a biopic on Freddie Mercury.
Absolutely. And that may be what they were going for, but that's not how they marketed it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the problem I have with it. I will say probably my favorite moment in that movie is the moment when they're at, was it EMI record label, and Mike Myers is playing the head of it.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there, he's like, you know, it's Bohemian Rhapsody. There aren't going to be kids wanting to bang their heads to this song in a car. And I was Wayne's World.
I didn't notice that was Michael Myers until like almost the end of the movie. I was like, he looks familiar. He looks really familiar.
It's the voice. The voice gives it away.
Yeah, and then he turned his head. I was like, oh my God, that's Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I felt like a dumbass for not knowing.
But yeah, besides that, I mean, the movie's great.
Yeah.
It did win an award, actually won a couple awards this for the Oscars. Rami Malek won for playing Freddie Mercury, and I completely agree.
That's justifiable in every way.
He did a fantastic, fantastic job. The thing I liked about most with his performance was, and again, I don't know, Freddie Mercury was dead before I even realized who Queen was.
Freddie Mercury was dead before I was born.
True. So, like, I never really saw anything with him growing up and stuff like that. Because, you know, I grew up, I was a kid in the MTV era, you know, where it was actually music television. And
I grew up in the sitcom era.
If he would have been alive, I probably would have seen a lot of him and Queen on MTV. But he was dead by the time I could realize anything. So,
press F to pay respects.
Yeah. But I think that Rami Malek, he did such a good job in grabbing and understanding the confusion within Freddie Mercury. It wasn't just like he was like, oh, you know, I'm in love with a woman and, you know what, but I might be gay. Like, it was more like, am I gay? I don't know. Am I bi? Like, that was kind of how... And according to the movie, again, I don't know his real life, but according to the movie, that's something he struggled with almost his entire life.
Yeah.
And you know, Rami played it perfectly, absolutely perfectly, it seems. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit. It was well-deserving for him to win the Best Actor Award
for it. I just found it hard that everything wrapped up the way it did at the end of the movie in real life. I was like, you can't just have your whole life come together like that all at once. Like, he came out to his parents. His dad finally accepted him. Went off to perform, like, the greatest concert ever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think your life would come together that well. No. All at once, just like that.
In one day, in the span of 3 hours, everything's, like, perfect. Yeah. Oh, I got the man of my love, the man of my dreams. I got my father accepting me. They know I'm gay.
My best friend's back in my life.
I mean, 20 minutes ago, I just found out I had AIDS, but everything else is working out fine.
Hey. We can't all win all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously.
I mean, I was like, that's definitely some script work there, but I was like, nah.
Yeah. Again, it was a good movie.
Yeah. The Live Aid performance, though.
Yeah. People were mad that it didn't win Best Picture. I don't think it should have. However, it did win for Best Editing.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, like, I didn't catch it when I was watching it, but after I saw that they won for editing, I was kind of doing some research, and people are freaking out about it because it is a poorly edited movie. There's, you know, the scene where they sit down with the guy who wants to sign them and be their manager.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like right by the river in London. And you see the bridge behind them and everything like that. And they're sitting there. I counted in that one scene alone, 47 cuts.
Good God.
It was literally that person, 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 that person. That person. Like,
yeah. But that's stuff you don't catch unless you're looking for it.
Less than a 2-minute scene, 47 cuts.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's not good editing.
Yeah, but like when you're watching the movie and you're not like looking at it to analyze it.
True,
like that.
But awards are supposed to be the opposite of that. They're supposed to say, we're analyzing a movie to see how good it is.
Yeah.
And...
Well, I mean,
that one scene alone shouldn't have been like, nope, you're disqualified for that.
Yeah. Venom.
No, still not.
We seen what you did with the movie. You're back down.
Yeah. So, again, you know, I mean, it's a great movie.
Yeah. Go get it. It's on DVD now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously.
Well, yeah. I totally forgot you got it in Redbox. It's like $22. Go get it.
Yeah. I'll probably pick it up myself and... just, you know, every once in a while watch it, because it's a good movie.
It's definitely a movie you can go back to and rewatch.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the next movie, I was looking forward to A Star Is Born. I think I was looking forward to it more than you were whenever I first saw it.
I saw it, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, it's an amazing movie. So I was like, I can't wait to watch this. That's why I actually saved it for the second movie of the night, because I was like, you know what? I want to go to bed just...
singing Shallow.
Just completely happy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when spoilers, if you haven't seen the movie, you're not very happy at the end of that movie.
The ending is really not happy.
So, and I'm not gonna. Don't get me wrong. Like, I never watched the original or the remake of the remake.
Yeah,
this has been remade like 45 times. I've never seen any of them. And so I didn't know what I was getting into. But, you know, I did hear people talking about, oh, you're going to cry in this movie. And I am an emotional person. I will cry in movies quite often because... honestly, like, I like to get invested with characters, and that just shows, one, good writing, two, good story, three, just I was completely engrossed in the film. But the movie starts off very quickly, I felt.
Yeah.
Very fast. Like, before you know it, those two are in a relationship in the span of, like, 2.5 minutes.
Well, you know, rock star stuff.
Yeah.
Or country rock star
country
stuff.
Country star stuff, yeah.
I don't know.
I will say, I'm not the biggest country music fan, but... I really enjoyed the music.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper can actually sing.
Yeah, he's a really good singer. But I really enjoyed the music. And that is one thing that Bradley Cooper, that guy can freaking act, man.
Yeah.
He can act. Like, I'm sorry, Bradley Cooper, I mean, the first time I remember ever seeing Bradley Cooper in a movie, and I'm sure I saw him in before this, but was Wedding Crashers. That is the first movie I remember, like, who is that guy, and seeing the name Bradley Cooper, all right? And then... Hangover came out, and I was like, oh crap, like, look at him, he's a funny guy, you know,
he can do stuff.
Exactly. And then it just, and then Silver Linings Playbook came out, and I was like, he is a good actor. This is 10 times better of a performance than Silver Linings Playbook was.
And what's crazy is he directed it too.
Yes. Yeah.
That's insane.
But he does such an amazing job. Lady Gaga, first off, I've always...
We suck! We're not worthy!
I gotta say, she is one of the most gorgeous people I've ever seen. She is an absolute gorgeous woman. The problem is when she's dressed up as Lady Gaga in the public, she's not. Like, stop doing that to yourself. Like, I'm not saying that...
She probably thinks she has an image she has to live up to or something.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, in the movie she's not completely natural. I know that they put makeup on her and stuff like that, but...
She looks better that way.
She looked so good in this movie that, like, that's how she should live her life and be in public.
If she wasn't famous, that's how she would live her life and be in public.
Probably. But she did an amazing job. There was a couple moments where I was like, that's not great acting. I did find a couple moments with her. But it's tough because she's not an actress first. Yeah. She's a musician first.
And isn't this, like, her first major role?
It's her first major role. I think it's her first movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know that she's done stuff on TV. I don't know
movie-wise. Yeah, but I think it's her first movie. If not first major movie.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised that she didn't win anything for her acting or anything like that. However, they did win for Shallow.
Yeah, best original song
or something like that for a movie, which, again, completely agree with. I thought it was an amazing song, and all the music was really good in that movie. It just really was.
It's one of the few movies I actually have the soundtrack for.
Yeah. I'm going to sit here and say, though, that it's not one that I really care to go back to.
What?
It just isn't.
I've been jonesing to rewatch it, actually.
The way it ends, I don't... It was poor development of the character for the way it ended. You know, being sad, and again, it's been out now, what, 6-7 months, so spoiler, you know, if you haven't seen it, you know, Bradley Cooper's character, you know, kills himself in it.
Well, now, he takes a bunch of drugs because he's a drug addict. Yeah.
But,
He's depressed.
Well, he hangs himself.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He takes a bunch of drugs
and then hangs himself. Yeah. But he does suffer from substance abuse, mainly alcohol. But he does also take pain pills and other.
And he's also
pills,
like deaf.
And he's going deaf. Yeah. And so, like, there's a lot of things that weigh on him throughout the entire movie, but nowhere ever in the entire movie. Do they ever allude to the idea that he has ever been suicidal or hasn't wanted to live or anything like that? Now, again, I can understand what you're saying is that doesn't always happen, blah, 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 with people who have, because that's their way of showing it, that they have their substance abuse is them showing that they don't want to live this life.
Yeah.
But the problem is this movie
doesn't portray it at all.
Portrays that, but shows, hey, he falls in love with this girl. This girl is changing his life. He has something to live for now.
She wins an award. He pisses himself on stage.
But he has something to live for.
Yeah.
And while he's still struggling with the substance abuse, he goes to get help. And he's like, I'm going to do this because I have to live for my wife. My wife is the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what so the fact that 10 minutes after he gets out of rehab in the film, he kills himself. It was terrible writing in my opinion. And
it was all over because some dude went, you ruined your girlfriend's career, your wife's career.
Exactly. And again, to me, that's just there wasn't enough development there. And I mean, the movie's already like 2.5 hours long. So yeah, they would have had to.
You couldn't stretch it to like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, but they had to. They should have reworked the script somehow. Then, in my opinion, because it didn't work for me.
You could have very easily made Sam Elliott say a line or some shit like that.
Yeah,
or just show it in the way he was acting when he was. Yeah.
I tell you what, I didn't know Sam Elliott was in it, and I was so pumped whenever I saw.
Neither
him.
Did I, and I was like, oh shit, wait, he's his brother.
Yeah,
holy fuck.
Yeah, I was a little shocked at that too. I was like,
He was in his 30s when Bradley Cooper was born.
Yeah. so that was kind of unfortunate. Like, I just didn't like the way they killed off his character. And then the final scene, while I get it, the song, it's a beautiful song. I understand, but I didn't like them ending on that song. Like,
yeah.
I didn't like it. And again, I mean, movies are subjective. People love this movie.
It was my number one film of 2018.
I enjoyed it. It's not a movie that I really want to go back to.
Yeah, you'll see the remake when they remake the remake, the remake, the remake, the remake of the original.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I did this week.
I really wish I would have watched the Oscars last night.
I don't. I refuse to watch them.
Well, I just wanted to see it for the performance of Shallow, because everybody's saying
it's online.
I know. I meant to watch it, but I didn't. I forgot about
it. It's good.
People were like, oh, my God.
Mel B. from the Spice Girls was like, I felt uncomfortable for Bradley Cooper's wife or girlfriend or whatever. And I'm like, why? Because, I mean, when they're singing up there, they have chemistry. That's the one thing. Bradley Cooper almost has chemistry with every woman he's on screen with.
Including me.
But, like, this chemistry between he and Lady Gaga is so
strong.
Yeah,
it's insane.
So strong. And that's what happened on stage last night, is the chemistry between them, they were in the moment.
Yeah, and that's...
singing a very passionate song.
You have to get there.
Yeah, if they wouldn't have done that, then...
It would have been
meh. Yeah. So the fact that Mel Beat's like, I feel uncomfortable. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, you see Bradley Cooper out there with his girlfriend or wife or whatever, just hugging and kissing and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like,
you feel uncomfortable because you're a Spice Girl and haven't been relevant for 20 years. That's why you feel uncomfortable.
Well, she's on America's Got Talent. Come on.
Irrelevant for 20 years. That's why you're uncomfortable. You need that light on you.
Oh, man. Let's see. So, the awards, just a couple that I want to touch on. Number one, best animated film. Come on, did you really expect anything else would win that award?
No. There was nothing else really notable that came out.
I mean, really, the only two that you probably could have, or the only one that you could have gotten put up against this would have been Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
But,
and even then.
Yeah, but Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was hands down the number one animated film last year.
Can't get around that.
Yeah, so congrats to them. Very deserving of that award, so that's exciting. But
that was another movie you were skeptical of. Yeah,
Marvel didn't stop there, though. Marvel Studios, you know, the MCU, the ones who are behind the Avengers and all that fun stuff that everybody loves these days, has finally got their first three Oscar awards.
For Black Panther.
All three are for Black Panther. One is for costume design, which I gotta go, what?
Cool.
Huh?
I'm giving a thumbs up.
I'm sorry, it wasn't that. There was nothing special about the costume design in that movie. There just wasn't.
Okay, we get it. It was a cultural thing. We get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Production design. I mean, they shot most of the movie on a farm in like Alabama or something. Yeah. So.
Okay, a bunch of yeehaw going on around there.
So I guess, it's kind of cool they made a farm in Alabama look like a...
like Wakanda.
A fake country in Africa. Okay, I can see the production design. I will give you that. But the one that just baffled me the most... And again, I'm not saying that Black Panther wasn't a good movie. It was a good movie. I don't think it should have been nominated for Best Picture, though, like it was. And it did not win Best Picture, but I don't think it should have been nominated for as much as it was, especially this specific one that they actually won for Best Original Score. There's nothing about that score that stood out. And I'm somebody who listens. I listen to music for every movie that comes out, essentially. Like, if it's a movie that I'm going to see or I've seen, I'm listening to the music for that in that movie, especially if it has some kind of symphonic score.
Hold up. I'm about to piss people off here. What score? It wasn't memorable.
Exactly.
I don't know what the score was.
Exactly. I like, I literally can't sit here. What is Black Panther's theme?
He had one.
Exactly. Like, that's my point. Like, you sit here and you think,
There's not one song in that movie that comes to mind. No, there's one, but that's because Nicole liked it. And she didn't even see the movie. She just liked it before she watched the movie. I don't even remember the name of the song.
But it's not the score, though. You're talking about for the soundtrack.
Yeah, so, it's like, on the soundtrack.
With like some rap song or something, yeah. Right? Yeah, that's not part of that.
Yeah, so I don't know one song from that movie.
Yeah, so Ludwig Göransson is actually the one who did the score for it. And for the life of me, and I'm going to look it up here.
what is his score?
Ah, oh, man, I can't. I know he's done stuff that I've known in the past.
Well, he's done some Russian stuff and some French stuff and some Spanish stuff.
Oh, man, let's see here. Oh, boy.
We did our homework.
Films. Creed 2. Nothing.
X gonna give it to you.
He did Venom.
Okay, Black Panther. Better or worse than Venom?
Black Panther is better than Venom.
All right,
by a lot. But okay. Again, I mean, like, if you go back and look through his filmography scores, Marley and Me, Year One, Jennifer's Body, 30 Minutes or Less,
nothing notable.
A Merry Friggin' Christmas, Creed, great movie. Let's see, Central Intelligence.
I'm just hearing a bunch of comedies.
Black Panther, Death Wish. Slice, Venom, and Creed 2. I mean, and here's the thing. These are all movies that don't rely on music. None of them.
So he's not a strong composer.
The MCU has never relied on music or score or composition in any form or fashion in any of their movies in the past 10 years. There's no reason. No reason this movie should have won for that. At all.
Dumb. So, not to get off topic or anything, but I just happened to think of this. So, I was playing Spider-Man, and I noticed there's no music unless you're web-slinging around. Well,
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Well, next time you play it, there's nothing but ambient noise when you're sitting still.
Hmm.
When you start swinging,
you know what? I do remember realizing that when I was first playing.
And I was like, this is weird. Yeah. Just play the music or don't play the music, please. Anyway.
Because it's always that big build-up, like right when you jump off of a building, it's like, whoop, and then the music comes in.
Yeah, and it's just like, stop. Either play it or don't play it. It's annoying.
I mean, when you're fighting baddies, there's music.
Yeah, but like, your web swinging is 95% of the game.
Yeah.
Like, from point A to point B. It's just I don't like that game. I've decided I don't like Spider-Man.
That's crazy.
Don't like it.
Wow. You mentioned a little earlier, we got Chris Hemsworth is going to be playing Hulk Hogan in a Hulk Hogan biopic movie.
I'm interested. I don't see how he's going to fit it, but I'm interested.
I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. Come on.
As long as they sign me to play Macho Man Randy Savage, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Why not?
I don't know if he's going to fit it. I mean, I'm going to watch it because it's fucking Hulk Hogan. Like, why not?
Yeah, I don't see it either, but
I just want to see him with a Fu Manchu. Like, whatever.
I just want to know how they're going to do the hairline.
Oh, my God. You might as well sign me up for a stunt double. I got a Fu Manchu and a hairline that's receding.
Because, you know, the thing with Hulk Hogan is he's had that same hairline since 1980. So it's not like, I don't ever remember a time Hulk Hogan ever having a whole head of hair.
Yeah. Do you remember a time where I had a whole head of hair?
No.
Colton for Hulk Hogan. Just comes out with an NWO theme. I forgot what the theme was halfway through that.
It's
that's gonna be my new theme.
New world order. All right, so that was fun.
We're nerds.
Oh man. Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yeet.
Has started production actually today.
Damn.
And it's also aiming for a fall release. I'm excited about this. Now, a lot of people don't realize that it isn't a reboot per se. It is not them going and saying, oh, these characters, we're rebooting them. That's not what is happening. Mm-hmm. The film is called Jane Silent Bob Reboot. It's not the Jane Silent Bob Reboot. It's Jane Silent Bob Reboot.
It's a play on words.
Yes. Because in the movie, if you remember the first Jane Silent Bob, Jane Silent Bob Strike Back, they are making a movie about their characters, Bluntman and Chronic. And they go and try and stop the movie from being made. Well, this movie, Jane Silent Bob Reboot, is about Hollywood going and rebooting their Bluntman and Chronic characters in another movie. So it kind of, it's funny. I like it.
It's a very self-aware funny joke.
Again, that's Kevin Smith. And that's when he's at his best. He is at his best when he's playing with these characters.
Yeah.
You know, I liked Red State. I liked Tusk. Yoga Hosers was all right. But those were characters that weren't things that he was really like comfortable with playing with. And it was just, he was trying different things. And I give him all the credit in the world. You have fun. You got the ability and the chance to do it. Go for it. Do it. But he is at his best when he plays with these characters. Not just Jane Silent Bob, but everybody in the Viewisk universe. Like, that is where he excels. So I can't wait for this movie. I cannot wait for it.
Well, you have 6 months.
Give or take. Yeah, give or take.
Around there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll probably see it too. Throw it on the list.
Better.
I mean, I only have, 60 movies on my list? I think.
I don't know.
58? Around there.
I'll see them. The Marvel stuff that I want to talk about is kind of interesting, and it kind of brings us back to this whole Rotten Tomatoes crap that constantly has been going on for the last few years here.
Yeah, because it's Rotten Tomatoes.
Now, Brie Larson made a statement about a week or so ago that she should not have made. She should not have made it. She was talking about, you know, just how critics see movies and how people see movies and blah, 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 that kind of stuff. And she, along the lines, I don't have the exact verbiage here, but she basically states that she doesn't want some 40-year-old male telling her, What was the movie? I don't know. But about another, like, she's like, I don't want a 40-year-old male telling me how this movie should have been. And it was a very feminine movie that she was talking about in some form or fashion. And basically, what it has done, and while there's people, I'm still going to see this movie. I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm seeing it regardless.
But she starts to alienate people and fans. You know, the country right now is in such a state that
you can't say anything.
You shouldn't say anything. That's the problem. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but you shouldn't. Yeah. Look, Colton, you want to go and talk about being a feminist and everything? Go for it. You go for it.
You won't.
More power to you. Go for it. But here's the thing. If you were the lead star of an upcoming blockbuster
film,
action film, you know, probably one of the most anticipated movies in the first half of this year.
Yeah, because Ant-Man and the Wasp sucked.
You cannot say something like that. You just can't. And that is that's been my whole complaint with the Oscars and everything like that, is these famous people, these actors and actresses and everything like that, have lost sight of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're not out there to be standing on a political soapbox. They're there to celebrate. So, for instance, for award ceremonies, they're there to celebrate these films. That is what they're there for. They're supposed to go there. They're supposed to celebrate the film. I don't care if you're wearing a MAGA t-shirt or dress or an Obama Rocks, you know, polo shirt, or you're sitting there touting feminism or whatever. Yeah, I don't care.
No one cares.
I don't care what it is. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you're left, if you're right, if you're down the center, do not bring that crap to these award ceremonies. And the same goes whenever you're going and promoting a movie, or if you're not in the middle of promoting a movie, but if your face is everywhere.
Yeah, and you're literally on the cusp of it coming out.
Like, you need to shut your mouth. It's that simple. Whether she's right, whether she's wrong, it doesn't matter. Yeah. That is the thing. It does not matter. And that's what these people need to realize.
Yeah, when you have to boil it down to the point where, is this a political movie? No. Then don't. Just don't.
Yeah, just don't. Like, there's no reason. Place for it. I don't care what your beliefs are. Nobody cares what your beliefs are. Yeah, you're going to have the fans who are like, yeah, more power. Woo!
Yeah, pussy power.
But the thing is it's not about that. The problem is, just don't say anything. I'm not saying that you can't, in your own time, you can't go and do an event specifically for that at some point in time. But when you're promoting a movie, when your movie's about to come out that is going to be huge, and what you're going to say is going to be controversial, you don't say it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. That simple. And again, I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on, what you support.
I'm here for a movie.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
I can give two shits less about you.
Since she has said whatever she said or what she said, Rotten Tomatoes, the viewership score has dropped vastly. And people are going on there saying, you know what, I don't want to see this movie now. I don't want to see this movie now. And that is what happens. That's what happens. And here's the thing. I'm not blaming the people who are saying, oh, she's stupid, I don't want to see the movie because of her. I mean, I'm not going to blame them. They have their own opinion. If they want to make whatever opinion or judgment call on Brie Larson that they want to, go for it.
That's on you.
That's on them. To me, like I said a minute ago, I don't care what their views are. If I want to see a movie, I'm going to see a movie.
Yeah.
Just don't, whenever I go and start seeing promotion for it, if I see you on Conan or on Jimmy Fallon or if I see anything, if you start talking about this other crap, I'm turning it off. It's that simple. You know,
you just lost viewership for everything else.
So that's my thing. But these people are going to be freaking out about it. So Rotten Tomatoes, because the way their system works, you can start going and typing up kind of, but not really, reviews of the movie before the movie comes out.
And because that makes sense.
So what it automatically does is it starts to drop that viewer, non-critic, but normal audience score down. So that means when the movie comes out, the people who go see it and then jump on Rotten Tomatoes and start saying, you know, I like the movie. It's going to take more of them to get the score up than it really should. And that is what I'm...
But that's a broken system in Rotten Tomatoes. Why can you review a movie before it even comes out?
There should... Basically, Rotten Tomatoes should be this. Do you want to see this movie? Yes or no? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, you want to see it. Thumbs down, you don't want to see it. That's all you put until the movie comes out. And then once the movie comes out, then you can have an audience score.
Yeah, like that makes no sense. It's it's a week and a half before the movie comes out. Why can't you write a review?
Dude, you able to do it 2 months ago.
That makes no damn sense at all.
It's just Rotten Tomatoes is so broken in so many aspects. It is broken.
That's as bad as YouTube.
Like, I honestly think two things needs to happen. For critics, like official critics, to actually be able to post a review on there, they need to see it 3 times.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I think that's the only way, because I can't tell you how many times I will sit here and listen to a podcast or a show on YouTube of like famous like critics, like, you know, known critics who actually have their information on Rotten Tomatoes. And one day they'll say the movie sucked. And then like 2 months later, they're like, you know what? I revisited this movie and I was wrong. I really enjoyed it. But there's 2-3 months that is now where people are looking at his review or her review saying that it sucked, when a couple months later they enjoy it. So to me, I think they need to change that. And the viewership one, I think that there should not be a score.
No.
I think it should just be... I don't think there should be a score at all for any reviews, but I think, you know, for the viewer one, like, yeah, you can have a score for how many people want to see the movie.
Okay, yeah, whatever. I mean, that's a stat. That's 80%
of people, 80% of people that have come to this page want to see this movie. Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yeah, but that's not really a score. It's just a stat.
Yeah. Whereas if you start reviewing it, let them put their reviews, but don't put a score. Why put a score? Why? There's no reason for it.
Because people are lazy.
So
they look for that one number.
Yeah, that's all they look at.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's going to bomb like Solo did just because of that one statement?
No, I don't think it's going to bomb.
I mean, the Marvel fandom isn't as cancerous as Star Wars, but...
Very true.
But still, you do have those people.
I can see it having some issues. Especially because, you know, they are holding the reviews... The review embargo isn't being lifted until like 2 days before the movie, which is rare for a Marvel movie, unless it's like an Avengers movie. So the review embargo isn't lifting until a couple days prior.
Straight up coincides with Endgame, and that's why they're doing it.
It's possible. I mean, it is possible that's the reason, but again, what, like, that... Look at what DC did. DC wouldn't lift the embargo on Justice League until like 2 days before it came out. Batman vs. Superman until 2 days before it came out. And the reason for it is because they were afraid of what people were saying about it.
Yeah.
You know, could that be the same thing here? I don't think so, but people could read into it that way.
Yeah.
That could hurt the score. I mean, on top of what is going on with, if people just go on to Rotten Tomatoes. I did. I went on Rotten Tomatoes today and was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
So, yeah, that's the only Marvel news. There's really nothing else Marvel-wise.
Yeah, rest in spaghetti. Yeah. Marvel, not MCU-related. They're releasing another Star Wars series, Darth Vader comic series. Mm. I forget what it's called, but I saw that today. I was like, oh, damn it, that's another series I'm going to have to pick up.
But all right, we're going to jump in now to the Journey to Endgame. Shouldn't be too long because these are two characters that have had very small amounts of exposure in the MCU. But I'm going to start with the web-slinger himself, Spider-Man. In 1962, now this isn't the comics, 1962, with the success of the Fantastic Four, Marvel Comics editor and head writer Stan Lee was casting about for a few superhero ideas. Now, he says that the idea for Spider-Man arose from a surge in teenage demand for comic books and the desire to create a character with which teens could identify. In his biography, Stan Lee cites the non-superhuman pulp magazine crime fighter The Spider was a great reference. And in a multitude of print and video interviews, Stan Lee states that he was further inspired by seeing a spider climb up a wall. Adding in his autobiography, though, that he has told the story so often, he has become unsure of whether that is true or not.
Stan Lee.
Yeah. Although at the time, teenage superheroes were usually given names ending with boy. Think of like Superboy. You know, they were given names of boy.
Bobby Hill, boy.
Stan says he chose Spider-Man because he wanted the character to age as the series progressed and moreover felt the name Spider-Boy would have made the character sound inferior to other superheroes, which is very true.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I buy that. And then a little unknown fact, you know, some people still don't realize and understand why there's a hyphen between Spider and Man, and it's this simple. Stan Lee has stated that the reason why they put a hyphen there is because without it, it looked too similar to Superman. So they put the hyphen there so it was more distinguishable from Superman. That simple. That's all.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, the Infinity Gauntlet story, Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet stuff, within the comic books, Spider-Man doesn't have a lot to do. However, some of his, one of his issues called Double Infinity takes place during the first Infinity War comic, Infinity War number one. But it really has little to do with the overall story.
About as relevant as the Guardians were.
Yeah, basically.
Well, with the exception of Drax and Gamora.
Yeah, true.
And Nebula. Nebula.
Now, due to film rights, so we're going to jump into the MCU here. Now, due to film rights held by Sony Pictures, the Wallcrawler was unable to be introduced into the MCU. That was until, 2016 that Captain America Civil War came out? Sounds about right. Maybe 2015?
I think 16.
Yeah. So when Captain America Civil War came out, we got our first glimpse of Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, obviously, if you remember, that all stems from those emails that got hacked from like Russian bots or something like that.
Damn Russians.
Yeah. They hacked a bunch of emails from Sony Pictures, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that came about that there was discussion about lending him out to Marvel, Marvel Studios, but I don't think there was ever any intent on it actually happening. But once it got out and fans were like, what?
They're like, yes.
Sony was like, well, I guess we got to do it now, you know? And Amy Pascal from, you know, who's like one of the head people over at Sony, if she wouldn't have done it, she probably would have lost her job. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened with Spider-Man. So we know he shows up in Civil War. At that point in time, he's already Spider-Man in a sense. You know, he doesn't have the suit and everything. He has the hoodie and sweatpants suit that he makes himself. Tony Stark takes him under his wing. You see in his first solo movie, Homecoming.
Yeah.
He gets to keep his new suit that Tony Stark makes him, and he becomes more understanding of what it is to be a superhero.
Yeah.
We don't see him again until Infinity War, which we get to see him in a new suit again.
Yeah.
Your favorite suit, the Iron Spider suit.
Yeah.
And we get to see him travel to another planet, Titan, and fight the mad Titan himself, Thanos.
And holds his own.
He does. He does a good job holding his own. Yeah, and he unfortunately
rest in spaghetti.
Is part of the decimation.
and probably one of the most heart-wrenching scenes in the film.
Yeah, yeah. So where do you think... So we know where he is at the end of Endgame. Where do you think he will be in, or at the beginning of Endgame? We know he's dead. So in Endgame, where do you think we're going to see him?
He's going to take a part in the fight for fight over Thanos. Or fight... You know what I mean. Fight for the gauntlet, I guess, is probably the better term. Eventually, I can see him holding a stone. He'll be a guardian of a stone.
The way I look at it, I think that he won't show up until the very end of the movie.
Well,
I truly think that we're not going to see him until the end of the movie. I don't think that he'll fight Thanos again or anything like that. But he'll show up at the end of the movie. That's what I think.
Comes back from his trip from Europe. What's up, guys? I never died. I just saw the time, had to go.
Yeah. Where do you think they go with Spider-Man? Because we know, I mean, he's getting another movie. Now, the movie Far From Home, some people think that it could take place before Infinity War. Some people think it takes place after Infinity War, but before Endgame, because they think that the time travel aspect of Endgame could rewrite history, and where the events of Infinity War don't happen like they'd happen, you know?
Yeah. So, or in a parallel universe, they never happen.
Yeah, yeah. So where do you think Spider-Man goes? Now, here's the thing. In the Infinity War, now, we know Spider-Man does die in the comics at one point. Doc Ock then takes over his body, and it's just so weird. Like, that whole thing is so weird in the comics, what happens there, and it's just annoying. So, but he does not die. Has anything to do with the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War in the comics. But
yeah. No, I think it would take place... I mean, I don't know. Marvel's never done a movie that takes place before certain, like, several other movies. Everything kind of seems to flow, even though, you know, Captain America takes place. Like, the first one takes place in 1942. Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have one that's going to be like, oh, this takes place, like, 3 days before Infinity War or something like that.
I still think Far From Home could do that.
I mean, it could.
I still like the idea that the bus that they're on is them either coming back or going to.
Yeah. I mean, that could be it. I mean, I could see him coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, it would make sense. But I don't know. I mean, I would totally pick a noir suit over that, though. But I don't know. Takes place before Infinity War is my guess.
Okay. But what do you think is going to happen with Spider-Man? Like,
I'd personally like to see him kind of like get older and die, and then Miles Morales comes in.
Here's the thing.
Or he like kind of takes Miles Morales under his wing or
movies.
Something.
Six movies is what Sony and Marvel agreed on. Six movies. Yeah. We've had three.
I know. Well, is that...
That's Civil War, Far From Homecoming, and Infinity War. We've had three.
And you might as well count Endgame and...
Endgame, so that's five. So we're going to have one more movie with them. Maybe more?
Yeah, hopefully Sony's like, that was pretty dope. Here, take them for some more.
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense, but
I think that all depends on how well their own little universe is going. And I mean, despite how much I hate Venom, it made a shit ton of money. Morbius, the Living Vampire, is about to start filming soon with Jared Leto. That's probably going to make money. So if those movies are making money for Sony, I'm sure they'll allow them to hold on to Spider-Man for a little while.
Or you know, they'll be like, we need a 17th reboot of Spider-Man over here at Sony. That, like, explaining it to Nicole is so rough. Like, she's like, but I liked Tobey Maguire. And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't exist. What about Andrew whatever?
Well, now you see into the Spider-Verse and you say, no, they do exist, just in another universe.
Yeah, just in the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Which is dope. I don't know. I mean, if they hold on to him, I wouldn't mind seeing him getting older. And then, you know, like, I'm sure they could time jump it like they're going to. Rumor has it that, like, The Celestial, or whatever.
Celestials, yeah.
It's supposed to take place over tens of thousands of years. Mm. So, I'm sure they could time jump it and be like, oh, Peter Parker's old now.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, Peter Parker's dead. Oh, we need Miles Morales. Or something. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing Peter Parker around still. I just want Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man. He's my favorite Marvel character. Next to Doctor Strange. Which, ironically, is the next one.
All right. So, that's Spider-Man. Doctor Strange.
Whack.
In the comics, Doctor Strange debuted in Strange Tales number 110 in July 1963. A split book shared with the feature, The Human Torch, Doctor Strange appeared in issues 110 through 111 and number 114 before the character's 8-page origin story in number 115 in December 63. So Doctor Strange it's just an interesting character. I like the idea of Doctor Strange. Personally, I don't like what they've done with him in the MCU. I just don't. But when it comes to the Infinity Gauntlet story, Infinity War story, I can't find much of anything about him significantly.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything.
Yeah, so...
Now you guys see why we pick certain characters first.
Yeah. So jumping to the MCU, and again, I ask you, if you think that or know that some of my information is wrong here, because again, I don't read every comic book that there is. I will...
Yeah, we have lives.
Yeah, I will do my research online, see what I can find. If I'm wrong, please tell me, and we will correct it on the next episode, and I will give you full credit for that correction. But jumping to the MCU, so we know that he was introduced, actually first mentioned in Captain America Winter Soldier as... one of the Hydra agents mentioned Stephen Strange. And then we are fully introduced to him in the movie Doctor Strange. Here.
Crazy how he's introduced in his own movies. Marvel's on some crazy stuff right now.
He's also had a small appearance in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And he was in...
That appearance didn't really need to happen, though.
And he was also in Infinity War. So... At the end of Infinity War, a lot of people believe that he's going to have a huge role to play in Endgame. But at the end of Infinity War, we know that one of the stones, he was the keeper of one of the stones, the Eye of Agamotto, the Time Stone. That was what he was supposed to be protecting. He had to hand it over to Thanos, so Thanos did not kill Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And
then he goes,
hey, we're in the... next movie's title.
Yeah, we're in the
wink.
We're in the Avengers Endgame now.
We're in the 2019's Avengers Endgame.
Everybody be like, I don't know if that's the title of the next movie. I mean, if they came that blunt with it, I don't think I'd believe it either. Like, is it?
But he is then part of the decimation as well and turns into dust.
Rest in spaghetti.
So what do you think in Endgame?
In Endgame? Well, he's going to be dead in the beginning.
Oh, no shit.
I'd like to think that, I mean, he is the Sorcerer Supreme.
There it is.
I have to breathe. I still can't really breathe well, but, you know, I have to breathe in between saying words. He's the Sorcerer Supreme, so I'm sure he did something to tell a parallel universe him that, like, hey, this is about to happen. Prepare yourself. So you never know. Like, in the time travel, he may already know about all this.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, oh, hey, I prepared for this. I gathered up the other 14, the other 5 stones. Here we go.
Yeah, and go.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
His powers are seemingly endless.
Yeah, I mean, seeing that, you know, he played a significant role in Infinity War, I think
he's going to take over more of a role of Adam Warlock, since Adam Warlock's not in it.
Maybe.
Like, he's the Adam Warlock of the MCU right now.
Maybe. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what they do with him. I mean, if there is time travel with Endgame...
I feel like it would only make sense with him having the Time Stone that he told himself or something.
That or the time... I mean... I don't know.
I mean, the whole time travel thing leaves you with a big old gray area.
Yeah.
Because there's like, oh, what happens? All we know is Ant-Man's still useless.
Because we know we're going back to the original Avengers movie in Endgame. We know that from set pictures. However, Doctor Strange wasn't Doctor Strange until a few years after that. So that's not going to do anything for us at all. There's been talk about Ultron being involved, but he also didn't become Doctor Strange until after Ultron. So... Yeah, there's a lot that...
Yeah, like it's... But you never know. They could just be making stops back in history. Like, hey, you're an Avenger. We need you. Hey, yeah. We need you.
Hey, come on with us.
Yeah, we need everybody we can.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
So, I mean, it would make sense that he's in the time loop in his movie, because I can't remember the guy's name at the end of Doctor Strange.
Dormammu.
Yeah, he's in that time loop, and they're like, hold up, pull him out, just keep going.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Dormammu, and then they just grab him. They leave. And then the big old battle takes place during Avengers 1 at the Battle of New York.
Hmm.
To subdue Loki. They get him low key. I mean, then they would have to track Thanos, I guess. That would make...
Womp womp. Yeah. I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, they could go through the portal to get the Thanos somehow, maybe. Some yeah. form or fashion.
Well, I mean, if they have Doctor Strange at that point, he would just open up one of those circle portals. And then yeah. he does. And then boom.
True. But yeah, I mean, that's... You know, let us know what you think. I think Doctor Strange is going to be a significant part of the Avengers moving forward.
Yeah.
After Endgame. You know, he's only had one movie... solo film. I think he's going to be one of the...
I think phase four, quote unquote, is going to have more than like, okay, Thor had three movies. You know, everybody had three movies. I think they're going to be like, okay, we're just going to give you enough movies to tell the story.
Yeah.
Like, okay, people like Doctor Strange, where we're going to make him one more of the driving force of the thing.
What I'd like for them to do, because they keep saying that things are going to be different in phase four, even if it's just for one phase, even if it's just for like a two or three year span.
Phase.
Yeah. 1 or 2 year, 3 year span at the most, every movie is connected like it's a story. It's one solid story.
Like one flowing story.
Yeah. So even though, you know, movie one will be Spider-Man Far From Home, the next movie could be, you know, continuing a thread that started in that. And there's just this continuous thread running through all of the movies that connects them more than they've been connected. Now, I think that would be a cool thing to do.
And you could totally do that with the storyline we both want to happen in that phase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm not going to dive into because I get yelled at.
Don't say it yet.
I have, what?
Not yet.
2 months before I can do that?
Yes.
Roughly.
Yes. Yeah. But next week, we're going to get into Scarlet Witch and Vision. So that actually could be a good episode for some things.
Because they both have, well, not in Infinity War, but in the comics, they're both fairly related.
Hawkeye, Ant-Man, and Wasp are the following week. Fury, Hill... and Captain Marvel the week after. Then after that, it's one character a week. It'll be Black Widow, then Hulk, then Thor, then Captain America, then Iron Man, then Avengers pregame, then Endgame comes out, and then we will have our Avengers postgame. So we have that all lined up for you until... that takes us all the way to the end of April, guys. Yeah. Like, so we got a lot of stuff planned for...
and then we could just kind of jump into a Spider-Man thing.
Meh.
I mean, we could. Well, I mean, we could do Mysterio.
I mean, but that we can get once we get closer to Spider-Man.
Oh, no, that's June. I'm thinking
it's
in
July.
I was thinking it was like May or something. My bad. Yeah. I take that back. It just keeps diving into characters. Well, here's the fat kid. he's not a thing in the comics. MCU, he was fat. Next.
But all right. That's all.
Oh, wait. Do you think he died in Endgame?
Who?
The fat kid.
I have no idea.
Or not in Endgame, Infinity War. Do you think he survived? Do you want him to survive?
Sure.
Nah, I hope he died.
I'm a fat kid, so I gotta stand up for my brothers.
Gotta push them tits together.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, Colton. It's been a pleasure.
Dab.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I do want to do one quick shout out to John Horsley of Spoiler Country. His Kickstarter for his comic book, The Ainz Anthology, has met its goal and it is going to be made. So exciting. And it had 11 days to spare, but that doesn't mean you can't get in on it now. They're still taking money for the Kickstarter because every little bit of money helps, and he's planning on doing a soundtrack for it now. So
that would be dope.
If he reaches, I think it's $5,000 or maybe $5,500, he's going to have a full 10-song soundtrack for this comic. I think it is fantastic. So
I'm going to have to steal that off you.
Definitely find the Ainz Anthology and check out his Kickstarter. Support him. You can support him as little as a dollar if you can't afford to get the comic. As little as a dollar, $10 will get you a PDF version of the comic as soon as it is released, or as soon as he's able to release it, he will get that to you. So check out his Kickstarter. It's the Ainz Anthology. That is E-Y-N-E-S Anthology. Ainz Anthology.
You spelled I wrong. It's just the letter.
All right. So check that out. So again, congratulations, John.
We're proud of you.
We are very proud of you. And besides that, this has been Bridging the Geekdoms, part of the Nerd Talk Clubs Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and we will talk at you next week.
Bye.